get her going. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. The Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, David Sisboomba. Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6.
You're off the IR, but not 100%.
Yeah, what did you guys say yesterday?
We definitely said you were faking it. No, we didn't, did we?
No,
we said we gave you credit for battling through the first 2 days.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because I got a few texts on my social.
So they weren't texts, they were tweets.
Tweets. Yeah. Like, yeah. Where are you?
Yeah, the show sucks. Yeah.
No, not the show sucks.
Okay. Yeah.
You're soft. You're soft. What do you got? A headache? A tummy ache?
Much like Austin Matthews.
Yes.
He played game one, game two. Mace, you know, the game three got a little sketchy.
But I woke up and I read that today.
And you're,
I'm like,
you're up.
I'm like, I don't care if I come and throw up a lung on national television.
I would
to work.
I would care about that. I don't want to get sick for the long weekend. So,
well, hey. Listen, I can carry the verbal weight today. I'll do all the talking. Here's me filling time, time.
No, we'll be a lot better than that.
Yeah, we'll be good. We got a great guest today, Kip.
Great guest, loaded. Gord Stelectricity will join us in about 10 minutes. Figure out what's going on. Coaching news coming this week for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
What's going on?
Yeah, what is going on? That's a great question.
Why is it? I would have sworn we were going to have this by now.
I think a ton behind the scenes is going on. And I think there's a race right now.
Hmm. A race for Berube?
Fill spots.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't feel like it's going to be clean. Like Berube was like, I want to be there. They want me. Let's negotiate the contract. Bing, bang, boom. This feels like it's not like that.
So is this the Leafs not able to lock in their guy as of yet? Or is this Brad Treliving, who's notoriously known for doing his due diligence and a thorough inquiry on finding a coach? How many interviews have gone on? Is there any more planning?
It feels, you know, and I have no idea, but it feels like everyone kind of wants Berube. He has leverage over all of them because of that. And it makes sense when you're a UFA to hear the pitch of these other teams and what money is offered and sort of authority and all the rest, what's coming. So maybe it takes time to interview with every team. Is that unreasonable?
Not at all.
I just wonder where New Jersey is in all of this when it comes to looking for a head coach. I get the sense that there's some organizations that have no problem, whatever it takes to get a good head coach. That could mean spending between $3-5 million a year on a coach.
Yeah.
And then there's some organizations that just can't go there, don't want to go there. That's not what we're budgeted for.
Mm-hmm. And
New Jersey, I think, has the means to go $4-5 million.
I also
Toronto does. I think Seattle is willing to spend on a guy that they like.
Yeah. I also know New Jersey. They're a part of that group. Is it the Fenway Sports Group or it's...
No. It's not Fenway. Fenway's Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
It's Harris.
Yeah, Harris. He has
the New Jersey. And now the Washington
Commanders.
Commanders.
And maybe a European kick hockey team, too.
Oh, football, a football team?
A footy team.
I don't know what team it would be.
But anyway, they are a very analytics-focused, forward-thinking organization. That group is.
Very forward.
So
is that Craig Berube?
Well, to me, that's more Sheldon Keefe than Craig Berube. But I don't know, but I'm just assuming based on the way I hear Berube talk about hockey, he's not going to be like, well, of course he, you know, like that's much more likely to be Sheldon, isn't it?
Was that overplayed for the Leafs all these years with Kyle Dubas and analytics? We never really saw many decisions based on sheer numbers.
Look at their deadlines the last few years. Like it was like Achari and Shen and McCabe.
But it took them a long time to get there.
For sure it did. There's no doubt that the early days were like, maybe Patan and Malgin can fix it.
How about more Janssen again?
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like there was sort of a change in his philosophy.
But I don't even think that was analytics as much as he believed that in his philosophy, speed and skill would work eventually over this like brawn and toughness. But that wasn't like possession-based, metric-driven decision-making. Yeah.
So, and I'm just wondering if Craig Berube, even if he loves the thought of being less than an hour away from his home in Philadelphia, I can't work under those circumstances. I'm a gut guy. I want to coach with my gut feeling, not what your analytics department's telling me.
Yeah. You know, I
wonder
think
if that factors in.
A big complaint of the people I know who work in analytics for NHL teams is that you can provide them with all the stuff in the world, but if the coach doesn't care, which I would say most of them still don't entirely, like 10 out of the 32 will really consider it and read all the information, whatever. And the next 10 might go, what do you got?
10 okay. of the 32? That's yeah. like five or six players need to get going here. Yeah. Who do you think the 10 teams are?
The middle 10 go, you know, okay, if you got something really good, tell me. If you don't, I don't want to hear it. And then there's 10 or 12 guys that just throw it in the bin.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Berube is a bin man?
I would be speculation to make that claim, but yes, I do. Well, I'm speculating.
He's crumpling it up. Kobe.
Yeah.
I got to think, too, in his interviews, he's making that pretty clear to everybody that if you're going to come in, you're going to spend this money on me, you're giving me a...
I make the decision.
Fairly long-term deal here, then don't try to jam stuff down my throat here.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you can negotiate for different things when you're trying to get hired, and it's not all money. And some of it is who has the say on certain things and who do I have to answer to? I'm sure he would not like to answer to the numbers guys as much.
Also, in 20 minutes, Ed Jovanovski will join us, former NHL defenseman, help us tee up Boston and the Panthers. This series extending.
A lot of happening.
Lots happening.
Can I tell you guys a fun fact on that? Do you want to do a full host-like
thing? And then at the top of the hour, Rob Brown, we've had him on before, does a great job as an Oiler analyst for Ched out there. He'll join us at the top of the hour. And then Adam Graves to kind of top us off with Rangers Hurricanes as well. So fantastic lineup.
Three former really good NHLers right there.
Yes.
So there you go.
That's awesome.
Really good. All right, go.
So I've been covering that Florida series. They had the two goaltender interference calls. So I looked into goalie interference calls in the playoffs. There's been 5 goalie interference challenges. All 5 involve Florida.
Really?
And their guys just falling on the goalie.
Oh, yeah, well, the two with Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Where they challenged both?
I think 3 against Tampa and then 2 against Boston. But also their goalie is dramatic and drops his stick and does the whole thing. So Florida's been involved in all 5. I wrote about it today on Sportsnet. But
okay, so... 3 in the opposite, and then 2 on.
Well,
Bobrovsky.
Actually, I think it's the opposite. I think it's 3 against, 3 against Bobrovsky and 2 offensively. But they got the call every time that they wanted. The first time, second time, third time, fourth time. The only time they didn't was the one they should have got the call.
The most egregious one,
where they let McAvoy's goal stand behind and took out his skate.
Yeah.
So they almost got every call, and that was the one game they lost. They won the other 4 games, and then they lost the one where they didn't get the call. So pivotal moments. But this is, I wrote about how that's a testament to the way Florida plays. They're in the crease. They're around there. They're falling on people, right? They get to those areas, and their goalie's a little dramatic, but they defend hard too. So I think it speaks to the way they play that they're always in the thick of it.
I wonder what how those numbers compare to the ones during the regular season. Would they have led in crease crashing?
That is a unbelievably good question that I wish I had looked into. I
should be your stat guy or something.
Well, you know what's funny is, so I took that thesis that, okay, Florida is a physical team and they've been involved in 5 goalie interference challenges in 2 rounds. I wonder how many the Toronto Maple Leafs have been involved in since Marner and Matthews were in the league, 8 years of whatever. And I actually just got the answer. Thank you to Richard Choi in our stats department. So they've had 7. They've been involved in 7 over the last 8 years. Florida's been 5 this year. So I maybe that tells you they're not as around the crease as much.
No, they like to score their goals
I mean, that's just such an easy...
Maybe.
Easy thing to say.
For
like,
sure.
It's like the most confirmation bias thing ever.
For sure. Or? Like,
or they don't ever go to the front of the net. I mean, you can say both sides of that, for sure. For sure.
I would have to look into how they've all played out in terms of it was 4 or against them. But
it's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I got to think there was a few with Bertuzzi. That guy goes to the net. That guy's around the blue paint a lot.
Yeah.
I got work to do.
Bunting?
I got to follow up on this.
Bunting for sure.
See if my goaltender interference theory holds up. Yeah. He's a fall on the goalie. The most egregious is Matthew Tkachuk in the first round against Tampa Bay. He's skating by Vasilevsky and someone like touches him and he's like, oh no, the goalie, and like fell on top of Vasilevsky and Bennett trying.
I mean, the way these, I know we're going to get Gordo here in a second, but the way these series are shaping up, it's a thing of beauty. Because it started where there was a couple 3-1s, you know, the Rangers get out to the 3-0 and you're kind of concerned that it might be a quick second round. But now you got game six in the other series. It's great. I'm fired up about this round.
All right, let's bring him in. We know him best as Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, our number one guest ever on the Real Kipper and Bourne show.
Wait, Gordo, you there?
I'm here. Sorry,
Costco.
I had lunch with Brian Burke, so just exiting and catching up and talking fond things about the show and the Leafs and hockey. So excuse any background ambience.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. So what did you have to eat?
Oh, a bunch of chicken dishes. You know, Brian ordered. He's part owner here of Moxie's. I'm not giving a plug. $2,000. He said he never's going to see back. He said guys like Shane Doan and Jerome McGill and that were partners, so he's been here for a while. And he claims he owns two urinals. That's his expression. So anyway, that was it was a good afternoon to talk hockey. I mean, they got a great PWHL final tomorrow night, right? Like a game five going on. So that part's good as far as that gig goes. And otherwise, we're chatting about a great second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It is. And we'll get into that, Gord. But as far as the coaching front, it's been a fairly quiet week. Are you surprised?
Not really. I mean, it's quiet, but it's not quiet. It's kind of like they're, you know, let's face it, everyone, it's Todd McClellan or Craig Berube. So, and nowadays, like it's even like Craig Berube interviewing in Winnipeg, and you got to think they've got their coach in mind already. And, you know, Chicago Blackhawks, when they were looking for a general manager, they cast the net wide and they stayed with Kyle Davidson, who was the guy already there, you know? So I don't know how much his appearance is. I don't know if that's the right word, but I guess you want to check out what other options there are. So there's one of two very experienced, very confident guys. If I was betting, I would say it'd be Craig Berube. There's no rush, but you also can't let it drag out forever. I think, obviously, this is the top job, right? So other hires, whether, you know, Berube or McClellan are candidates elsewhere, which I'm sure they both are waiting for the Toronto news.
Gord, I don't know that you're going to get much out of this, but does how Boston looks against Florida change anything about how you feel about the Leafs from round one? You know, they seem to be going down without much of a fight there, but fought back last game to get a win. Has anything changed for you in your perception of the Leafs, given what their opponent looks like in round two?
Yeah, you know, Justin, it's the same as we talked about through that series. The Bruins could be had. I mean, the Bruins were ripe for the taking, and that's not any disrespect. I mean, to lose the kind of players they have and still maintain, you know, staying where they are. And, you know, that cap era about hometown discounts is over with Charlie McAvoy and David Pastrnak and that. So they've had problems there. And, you know, yeah, it's just disappointing. It's, you know, it was dealt with a little bit at the press conference with the three guys, Keith Pelly and Brendan Shanahan and Brad Treliving. It's just too many years losing series like this. And this isn't the same Boston team that they lost in game seven, you know, 5-6 years ago. This isn't as good a Boston team. So I haven't changed it. Jeremy Swayman played great in goal. There's a lot of, you can look at certain things. Their depth guys got goals. Leafs took not great penalties. Special teams killed them, but they should be playing now. No question. I felt that back then. I went over the top on your show about it. I really believed in it. So anyway, I don't feel any different. And the other part, I feel like, wow, the Florida Panthers are now what we thought the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be. And that's kind of another dip of disappointment on top of not being in the second round of the playoffs, that another team seems to have maybe developed more fully from doing a bit of rebuild than the Maple Leafs did, say, 7 years ago.
We're talking to Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590. former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, Gord, a new coach, Berube, McClelland, who knows? But what would be the top priority for a coach to come in now for the Leafs? Because there's a specialty teams, there's defensive structure, there could be squeezing more out of your frontline guys or your bottom six. What do you think the number one look has to have at the top of the list here for a new coach?
Yeah, so, you know, Kippy, and it's funny, I remember years ago, your buddy Rick Tocchet was in doing some media stuff, and we went out for a bite after, the three of us, and I just think about what he did in Vancouver, because it's not a slight against anybody else, and I don't like the overused word culture at times, but it really does apply here, and I think it started applying when the end-of-season presser acknowledge that the process isn't working and you can't keep parroting that line out and educating Leaf fans about what they should be seeing when they really don't see it. So I like that about what the expectations are. And I think, yeah, you know, when I think Keith Pelley saying the fans deserve a winner, not that Sheldon Keefe, obviously he didn't coach, you know, not to be a winner. There were times when he had to walk back some criticism. And I just think that's a part of what a new coach will have a little bit more of a free rein to the whole accountability thing. Okay. So that's the part on the coach thing. The other part, the reality is they're not as good a team as they were 2-3 years ago. That doesn't mean you can't go deeper in the playoffs. Okay. But there is a bit of a, not a retool, but some of the younger players, which can be a positive being injected in the lineup. Easton Cowan just had a great series, you know, in the OHL with London. He's not going to be the savior next year, but just an element of that you need to inject those kind of players as much for salary cap reasons being on entry-level contracts as anything else.
Gord, not sure if you happen to hear the Rick Tocchet comments about his team and how they got passengers and they can't win with 12 guys and pretty hard stuff. You know, in the playoffs, you don't hear coaches be so hard on their guys in the playoffs that often. Do you feel like that would make a difference in Toronto? Like, do you feel if it is Berube and he's a little harder on them, or, you know, hey, maybe it's Rod Brind'Amour, do you feel like something like that would actually move the needle with the players?
Well, Kipper used to do that with me on the Sportsnet panel, Justin, you know, whatever. And I, you know,
look where I got you.
Yeah. I would wallow with another Dante Siesta big meal, but then I would try to bounce back with a stronger panel. I thought, you know, I it goes back to Jim Montgomery talking about Pasta, I'd expect more from him. Like Rick Tocchet said, hey, you guys write or you cover the game. Like, what, you know, like, what are you seeing, you know? And so he just kind of said it afterwards. And I don't know. I just think you're stating the obvious. Yeah. And I'd like to think, you know, first, as you guys know, being players, about a coach having a good read about what works or doesn't work. But also, hey, you know what? I would, if I want to be a winner, I'd want the coach to say that because, yeah, whichever guys are not doing it, they're affecting the other 14 guys that are doing it. And that doing it means simply giving the kind of effort, not being a passenger. So it's funny. I just, so much media scrutiny, so much nowadays, the kid gloves crap. And I think that's been part of the problem about the Maple Leafs, that it's just been, oh geez, they lost the playoffs, too bad, but here's what, you know, whatever. No, you know, it should be something that hurts, something you want to build from, something that challenges you. And something that, you know, challenges you to be better, challenges you to work harder, challenges you to do whatever is necessary to get to that next level.
The next level for them this summer, you know, they've got 12 UFAs, Gord, and you look at who's coming back. We've talked about the big guys, and we talked to Tavares and Marner, and we know that those are conversations that are going to be had. Is there anyone on the back end that you feel like needs to come back to be a part of the solution? You know, that is a bit of a sore spot for the Leafs every year, trying to find more defensemen to fill in at the deadline.
Well, needs is an interesting word. So I throw Joel Edmondson, that kind of thing out there, but then also there's others like, you know, is a Chris Tanev maybe hypothetically interested? Like what else is here? I thought last year in getting Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi on 1-year contracts, and ultimately what they did at the end of the regular season in the playoffs was a perfect kind of fit that way. And I'll throw that name out there. Just like, I like the way he played. I like he's back. He's got some playoff success pedigree. Obviously TJ Brody's time has come and gone, and, you know, then you know, Kippy and I, we've talked about it. And actually I was texting Kippy a couple of weeks ago, thinking of one of my Toronto Star articles, because know, Kippy now is like he's the Pierre Burton, you know, of whatever, the modern day for Canadian authors. So, you know, Justin, you write excellent stuff, but Kippy, he's got his pipe there, and he's got his jacket, his sweater with leather elbows.
Unlimited and elbow patches on the sweaters.
Yeah, and an ascot and everything like that. But just, you know.
Get on with it. Let's go.
Okay,
you're dripping right now.
We're talking about all these forwards, young forwards. Where the hell are the D? Like, where are any young D? You know, now we at least have a goalie in Toronto and Joe Wall, a young goalie. So that ends up being a problem. But then there's other guys you could fill with. And, you know, and I thought Joel Edmondson was a great kind of guy to fill with.
Gordon, you assume that the whole idea now is to go land a defenseman in free agency. But for that to happen, everybody's doing the math, saying, okay, the core four, someone has to go, free up the money, Marner, Tavares. If by chance nothing happens in September, October, and they're brought back, is there wiggle room of acceptance in Leaf Nation to start them in September, October for you?
Absolutely. I think the fact that there's an element of that they self-professed accountability is a start. You know, that, okay, we got to get better. So it's not like, oh, this is great. Okay, I'll see you in April. Say, no, we got to get better. And the other part, you know, Kippy, like John, no one landed a bigger free agent than John Tavares. And that July 1st, and you were one of the few people that brought up what happens in the cap world about a free agent, just, you know, warning people about other things that maybe, you know, don't make it as great in the big picture. And that's what's happened. That's no indictment of him at all. So there's no sexy D out there. Okay. It's not like, oh my goodness. Now maybe since I'm just talking about Berkey, if some reason the modern day Chris Pronger and Scott Niedermeyer can make it, you know, in 1 year, like he did with Anaheim that year, would be different, but it's just the kind of, and one thing Brad Treliving, I know you guys discussed it many times in Calgary, he's had a pretty good history about, you know, being involved in deals for defensemen and, you know, focusing on that. So yeah, it's got to be addressed, and there is no savior. There's no savior anywhere, because it's anything you do is another spice and just make incrementally positive moves.
Gord, go get some dessert with Berkey. Or did you have it already?
I got the souffle. It takes 15 minutes, Kippy, so it's all good. And it's 4-3, so I got two more spoons. Guys, come on down, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks, pal.
Great stuff.
Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, take care.
All right, Gord Stellick. Do you know how close Pronger came to being a Leaf?
I do. It's heartbreaking, but I do know that.
Would that have been like near prime Pronger?
Do you know why he wasn't a Leaf?
I vaguely remember, but please enlighten me.
Yeah.
Please break my heart all over again.
Yeah. A first rounder, I think Thomas Caberle, and the Leafs and Edmonton asked for Alex Steen, and the Leafs wouldn't give up Steen.
Ouchie. Ended up being a pretty good player.
Yeah, but then they traded him like a year later for Lee Stepniak.
Oh, yeah, Lee Stepniak.
Oh, that's a crucial detail.
Oopsies. That was Cliff Fletcher, right? They did that. That was like in between GMs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was before Berkey.
And Thomas Caberle, like.
Amazing player.
A great player, but not Pronger.
No.
Nobody's like Pronger.
Chris Pronger is one of the, I don't know, 10 guys that influenced every shift. I mean, more than anyone else in hockey. He just was a bully and long and could play and think, and he was unbelievable.
Gordo made a good point there, but where is the young defense?
Oh, you mean Rasmus Sandin and Timothy Liljegren?
Is that the young defense?
I don't know. Is it Roni Hirvonen? Is he one? One of him and Toby Niemelä are a D for sure.
It's just people they don't have
know that.
No, but it's like they don't have a stud guy on defense coming up. I guess that Noah Chadwick and the
I know
in the WHL
traded a lot of assets away the last little while, but
not have one hit
eight 10 years to not develop one guy.
But I remember the draft year that the Leafs were like, we're just going to get all the biggest D on earth, and it was Keaton Middleton, and there was like all these guys that were like 6'8", and none of them could play. You know, and like there has to be some balance between get a big D and get a guy who can play.
I'm not even.
I know you're not saying get a big guy.
But
they did sign
guy.
This that Cade Weber this season. They traded Carolina to get his rights and signed him. So I don't know. He'll probably play in the American League next year, but maybe he's a guy one day. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall, fellas.
It is weird though, because they have had development of their forwards. Like they have Nyes, you know, coming up and contributing. I guess
Holmberg, McMahon.
Pontus Holmberg. Like these are guys that they've kind of drafted and developed or whatever, but. I just
that blue line though.
It's brutal.
Like, look at Carolina right now. We're gonna get we'll get into it later on in the show, but a lot of teams that win the cup are based on a incredibly
look at
solid
Dallas.
Back end.
Look at Dallas.
Turns out Topi Niemelä is the D-man, not Roni Hurme.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, gun to my head, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between those two guys.
How big is he?
He's 1.83 meters high, according to Google. Does that help?
Why did they do that to us?
Just go 6'1".
Can we
just go?
I need a ruler.
He's 6 feet tall and okay. 180.
5'11".
Yeah, so he's 5'11", 179.
I've referred to them as the Topis and the Ronies many times.
Yeah.
It sucks because, you know, even every general manager, it feels like, has a hit on one guy that's, like, not outside the third round or outside the fourth round. Like, you find a D-man, you find somebody that comes up and contributes, and it just they haven't really had it on the back end. So, yeah, it's a good point by Gordo there.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Yep.
And then we'll come back with Ed Jovanovski, former NHL defenseman, covering the Panthers for Bally. We'll get his thoughts on the Bruins and the Panthers, including Paul Maurice's antics at the podium.
All right.
All right. Ed Jovanovski, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here at the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. How surprised are you that the series is going back to Boston?
You know, I thought they kind of looked dead in the water. You lose Brad Marchand. It was tough to see that they had a leg to stand on outside Jeremy Swayman, but they do have Jeremy Swayman, and that goes a long way. I mean, that guy has he been the best goalie in playoffs so far? I mean,
so the last couple of years, him and Allmark have been like lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, okay, like they're good, but how good are they really? And now you're understanding that run is no fluke.
Nope. They're legit.
They're legit. All right. Let's welcome in Ed Jovanovski,
who
covers the Panthers on Bally Sports. How are you, pal?
I'm good, man. Everything good?
Okay, so I'll ask you the same question I just asked JB. Like, how surprised are you that this thing's going back to Boston?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, I think, you know, most guys, obviously, you want to finish this, you know, at home. It hasn't been the story around the league, you know, but it is what it is. Always tough, you know, to win that fourth game. And I think if you look at the Panthers game in that situation, probably could be better. Maybe a little bit of disconnect kind of in that game. And listen, you're going back to Boston, and as much as you like to finish it on home ice, it didn't happen. But the team has been a very good road team. So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Jovo, I was looking into goalie interference calls throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, and there's been five. Florida's been involved in five. Do you think that's a coincidence, or does it reflect just the way they play around the crease of both ends?
I think so. I mean, you look at Florida, you know, especially we talk so much and you hear a lot about it around the league, you know, how good they are on the forecheck and in that blue paint area. I think they're all instructed. They got a handful of guys, Bennett, Tkachuk, these guys that like going on the front of the net, and you want pucks in traffic going there. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, there's been, you know, a couple of those incidents where it went their way and it didn't. But it's one of those areas, I think we, as you both know, it's one of the areas where goals are scored in the league. It's a high traffic area and you want bodies there. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, things don't go your way and they do. But you're going to see Florida continually kind of go into that blue paint area, which makes them very effective.
We got another glimpse of Paul Maurice blowing a gasket behind the bench here. He's starting to get legendary status on it. And then to watch it and then see a goal produced right away. Like, does he really think he's that good?
Right. I pushing the right buttons in those situations. During that second period, I found myself maybe enjoying one or two, too many drinks there during that period. So I missed that fiasco. But I did see it the next day. And, you know, listen, I think when he has that pulse and the team is not performing the way it should perform, you know, you want to let him know. You heard Barkov talk about it. It wasn't so much that he was mad. I think he was just kind of letting the guys know that just wasn't good enough and get yourselves into the game. And they responded in that situation, obviously, right after. But it seems to, like, kind of pick and choose his right spots. And I guess good on him for probably not I guess good on the players for not having the coach remind them how you need to play, because they've been fairly consistent throughout the playoffs and throughout the season. But I think always a little reminder is always – it was good to the guys, letting them know, as Tuck letting his players know it is the playoffs.
So there was a run of years, I want to say two seasons, where Barkov didn't have the greatest postseason run. And it was kind of like almost becoming a reputation thing where, like, this guy struggles a bit in the postseason. This season, that has not been the case. He's been wonderful for Florida. Do you think there was anything to the previous stuff, or is it sometimes it just, you know, you get luckier than others?
Well, I think for him, each and every year, you're seeing kind of that next step. And I think you look at last year, the taste that they got so close to being, you know, what can you do differently, you know, in the playoffs? He is the captain of the team, and, you know, he's the leader of the group. And I think when he's going on all cylinders like he has been, I mean, it rubs down the lineup. And I think it takes so much pride on his game, not so much, I guess, scoring points or whatever the case may be. That's been really nice to see on his part, but just his 200-foot game, the way he tracks back, the way he breaks up plays, the way how hard he is to take the puck off, the way he defends in the offensive zone, protecting the puck, and most of all, making his line mates better. Mm-hmm. He's a special player, man, I tell you.
Does he ever get mad, Jovo?
I don't think, no. And I'm sure inside it does boil in him.
Yeah,
you know, I think he takes his frustration out and just want to be better that next shift. But he's a quiet guy. I played for him a handful of years. He's a quiet guy. He just goes out there and tries to lead by example. But he's the first guy on the ice, the last guy off the ice. He spends a lot of time at the rink and just working on his craft. And he's been excellent.
You know, he's never had a 40-goal season, Jovo. Is that because he's not pushing for one? Like, is he good enough where if he said, I'm going to score 45 or 50 this year, it happens?
I think so, Kipper. I think you look at him, he's so unselfish. I think you almost want to be a little bit selfish sometimes shooting the puck. He's got a twisted wrister that he can beat goaltenders from out. But he likes to set up his line mates. He's a pass almost first type guy. But yeah, I think there's no question. I think if he made that, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to get 35 to 45 goals. You know, I think he's a player obviously capable of it. He's a big body. He's tough to handle. He shoots the puck a ton, and he's got moves too. We've seen a handful of those this year, the way he can dangle through guys.
He can finish.
And, but yeah, I think he gets more satisfaction probably in setting up guys and breaking up plays.
Yeah. So, unbelievable quote, not sure if you saw it, from Brad Marchand yesterday or today.
Today,
where he said that he's not mad about the Bennett thing. He basically said that, you know, you, as much as no one wants to say it, you try to hurt the other players on the other team when you play, which is, you know, we all know it. We just, it's kind of been like, you're not supposed to say it. How do you feel about that statement and also Sam Bennett?
Right. Well, so you know what you're going to get out of Sam Bennett. I mean, that's why a lot of the time he is banged up, because he only knows one speed.
Yeah.
And he plays that physical game. And I'm not disagreeing with Marchie on this. I don't know if you go out and publicly say that. I think in our league, the respect factor is there probably more than any other league. Mm-hmm. I think guys truly care. You know, no one wants to hurt each other. I think it's when you get into the playoffs, when you have an opportunity to really smoke someone, yeah, you're not hesitating. Do you want him to get hurt? No. I mean, you want to be a hard-nosed hockey player and you want it to be physical. I would think the more proper way to say it is probably, you know, we just hate each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the hatred develops, especially these two teams, obviously what happened last year. And now we're in a series, so... could be fireworks tomorrow.
Well, when you think about two goalies going head-to-head, I'm not sure you can find a better matchup than Swayman or Bobrovsky here. But, you know, for the most part, goalie Bob has continued to turn his career around. Like, it's phenomenal that we were talking about those first 3 years in Florida about does he get bought out? Who would buy that? Who would trade for that contract? But, you know, he's been money for them for quite a while right now, and this really could come down to the last save between Swayman and Bobrovsky.
Yeah, it could, and they've both been excellent. You know, even with Florida putting up six in a couple games there, you can't look at the goaltender being, you know, the issue there. For Bob, yeah, you're right. He's been consistent. He's given his team to even if you look at, you know, game four, it was three breakaways that he did stop kind of right in the heat as the game was close. So he's been dialed in. He's given he's so square to the play right now. He's not leaving too much in front of him, deflecting things off. And when Bob's in this zone, he's very difficult to beat. You got to give credit to what's going on in front of him. I think the guys second and third opportunities have done a nice job in front. And Swayman as well. I mean, he's taken the ball and run with it. They both have excellent seasons, the Boston goaltender. But I think running with Swayman has been a pretty good decision on the coach's part. And he's delivered for Boston.
Well, get your take on the opposition here in that Boston Bruins team. We obviously watched them here in Toronto in a seven-game series, and it didn't feel like they had a ton of firepower, but they just play really solid team defense. I give some credit to Jim Montgomery there. Is Florida having a tough time with it as much as Toronto was trying to produce?
Well, just kind of reflecting on that, you know, look at the lineup that there's posting before last game, and you're like, you know, Florida really has an opportunity here to expose this lineup.
Yeah.
You take Marchand out of the lineup, it really looks different. You know, I think you get in these situations, I think as a team, you just got to clamp down, and I think that's what Boston has done.
Mm-hmm.
They really clog up the middle and kind of force you into those areas, and they're turning pucks over and going back the other way defensively. They have a great back end. I mean, they're a big back end. They're mobile. Lauri's been a big surprise who probably didn't hear much of. I mean, this kid moves around pretty good for a big man. But, yeah, I think this time of year, you know, crunch time, especially back up against the wall, you're going to get your best defensive effort. I think for the Florida Panthers side, you just can't get too frustrated in those situations where what has been the backbone of this team is getting the puck behind the D and working below the goal line and doing a great job in that area. You'd like to see Matthew pick it up a little bit more in that area, kind of nothing in the last couple of games. Like to get him back going. But overall, I think you look at this game as an individual game, forget what happened and just try to look at tape where you can expose Boston.
Anybody up front for Boston that stands out for you? Because past Pasternak and Marchand, who hasn't been in the lineup.
I think Coyle.
This is a meat and potatoes lineup, isn't it?
It is. You know, every time it seems like Coyle's on the ice, he's just so low to the ice. He's a good skater, bright shot. He can play physical. He can finish. Even a guy like Trent Frederick, I mean, a guy that's been involved. And obviously we know Pasternak put in those situations. I mean, he can beat you. So I think collectively everybody's got to chip in just like every other group. But I'm impressed with Coyle as a player. I think he kind of adds every element to that group.
You know who stands out to me in Florida that I didn't know a ton about? And not that I didn't know about him, but Lundell. Lundell seems to be involved in just about everything these days.
Yeah, he's one of those Swiss Army knife type players where, you know, the coaches really put him in key situations, key face-offs. You can use him on the power play when guys aren't there. I think experience is eventually going to get there. He's that smart of a player. But a PK guy just kind of feeds off Barkey a little bit. I think he stays pretty close to Barkey and watches how he handles himself. But, yeah, every year he's gone better. And then when he kind of slips a little bit, you're like, you know, you're wondering kind of what's going on there. But you got to remember, he's still a young guy, still learning. And I think Maurice does an excellent job kind of controlling him in situations where we see him on the ice.
And just one more, I wanted to ask about, does Brandon Montour slap shot everything? Does it just every time the puck comes to him, does he hit a slap shot? Like, it doesn't seem like he has a wrister, a snapper. He just wants to bomb it, doesn't he?
he does have a bomb, and we almost want him to shoot more because he gets going on that power play, and he does have that look right in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
They seem to always kind of look for that half board play, bring it down low, and now with Matty and Sammy Reinhart working that play. Yeah, he's got a bomb. Why not use it? I think in that situation, you like them to see him shoot a little bit more on the power play. But I got to believe he's got a wrister in there, too.
Those are loud, yeah, I guess.
So, yeah. Jovo, this is technically a Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne show, so I'm just going to throw it out there, man.
Yeah.
Montour is a Toronto Maple Leaf. Next year is signed as a UFA.
Can he run a power play for us?
What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, man. He's sitting in a pretty good position there. You know, just watching these guys, even a guy like Forsling, who 3 years ago was brought here on waivers, has done an exceptional job. And I think when you look at Montour, what can he do? He can skate. He has a great first pass. He plays against top lines. He's a minute muncher. Plays both situations, PK and power play. He's one of those defensemen you look at. You know, I think he's going to be highly sought after. We'd love to have him here. I'm sure being in this situation here, just like Sammy Reinhart, I think there's decisions got to be made, but hopefully we can keep them all.
Well, listen, those questions won't get answered till after we find out what happens with the Stanley Cup here. But enjoy game 6 tomorrow, Jovo. We always appreciate your time and your wisdom on our show. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, go get a tan now, Jovo.
All right, buddy.
How are you hitting them?
It's the Mediterranean in me. I'm
jealous.
And how are you hitting them these days?
All right. I keep it right around a 4. Can't lose too much. We can win.
All right, we got to get him up here.
Yeah, we do.
Got to have a game.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jovo.
And Jovanovski. So,
4.
Damn. Like,
I heard he's a good
player. These hockey guys just sticks, eh?
But they got nothing to do all summer. Lift
weights. So you want to talk about a little bit of a late developer like Brandon Montour?
You know, he's only 30. Like, for a D-man, you got good years ahead. Well, if you're
so I don't know if you guys were born when I was asked on Sportsnet.
Oh, I remember.
Willie Nylander did not sign, went through the hole, and then we said, let's make trades.
Oh,
I loved Montour back then.
It's come up.
And everybody ripped on me. Right?
Did they and ever give
it was over Nick Ritchie, who was a top 10 pick at that point.
Giant.
I mean, everybody wanted remember Grapes went crazy they didn't take him
in
the first round.
Without Willie playing a game in the NHL, mm-hmm. Willie was what, fifth? Pick overall?
Eighth? Yeah.
Eighth? Yeah, maybe we
okay.
are
right. Eighth for a 10th pick. Not crazy.
No.
And then you throw in Brandon Montour.
Yeah.
Who?
At the time wasn't
nobody,
that skinny. Now it's not great.
Sorry?
It's not great now, though. At the time, it was actually fine. And I was like, yeah, that looks pretty good.
But now
it's one that is very easy to throw in your face. And it sucks.
No, it's not easy at all. Brandon Montour is a top defenseman.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I
could argue that Brandon Montour the last 2 years, 3 years as a Toronto Maple Leafs would have helped you advance past a first round a lot more than Willie did. I'm just telling you.
Brandon Montour's last 2 seasons have brought the idea back.
You get Brandon Montour on the Leafs a few years ago, and they're getting past Montreal. They're getting past Columbus.
Good news is you can.
I'm just telling you.
But Willie is literally the only one of the core four that scored any big goals for them the entire time. So
let's be honest. When you've only been out of the first round once in 10 years. Mm-hmm. Never really scored any big goals.
I mean, how many times has Montour been out first?
Don't give me that crap, Sammy. Please. There's no real big goals.
So we played with the Ducks. He's been around. Yeah. Okay. 3 times.
He is a phenomenal D right now who's got an edge to him. There's not that many of them out there.
He has some real FU to his game, which I like. I'm curious what a number would look like for him. Probably 7.
Oh, God. I think someone's going to overpay.
More than that?
Yeah, more than that.
What? Really? For how long?
I think he's 8. I think he's 8. Yeah. I think he can get it in the 8s.
That's a scary contract.
We do not agree.
Yeah.
I'm just...
I think he's really good.
What's he currently earning?
But what's like, I don't know.
And he hammers the puck too, eh?
Well, he hammers the puck. He plays 25 minutes a night. He can be physical. He is currently earning 3.5.
He's going to get a raise, I'd say.
7.5, 8?
Yeah.
Times 6?
Given the Morgan Riley contract?
I'm hesitant to do that.
What, 7.5?
7.5, 8 for 6 years?
I don't like it that much either.
No, I mean, I think he's really good, but he's 30 years
old. I'd rather give him 8.25 for 4 years.
He's coming to his own, no question, and he's really developed.
Even less than that.
But that's a lot of money, man, for a long time.
4 years, $8 million.
But he'll probably get it. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, that's why going into free agency and, like, building a team through free agency and trying to add guys, it's a really dangerous game. It really is.
But don't you feel like you'd prefer like a Pesci or like someone who does?
If I had my choice of all the guys,
Sheffield, but better than Pesci.
The guys I'm choosing.
I don't know if he's better than Pesci, but it'd be cheaper.
Tanev is the guy I choose.
Better.
I love Tanev.
Heavier, tougher, faster, better.
All right. Bring me Jalen Chatfield.
The Chatfield man.
I am pro.
Every time I come up with a name,
Jalen has entered the Chatfield.
Sam Bennett. I told you guys well before we met.
Yes.
Go get Sam Bennett.
I know.
Everybody laughed at that one, too.
I did not. I like that idea.
You wanted to trade old
Nick Ritchie. Nobody in Leafland wanted to trade Nick Robertson for Sam Bennett.
Nick Ritchie now is in the Finnish League, I think.
Yeah.
So
he's in some trouble, I think.
Yeah. Anyways, So, no, Kippy, it's come around a little bit. You're the take that everyone loves to throw in your face. Montour is very good. So it's come around a little bit.
Yeah, it's come around.
A little bit. Yeah.
Come around.
I wouldn't say fully all the way around.
When's Bennett
we'll
done?
See.
What's his deal? He's got 2 more years. After this year, he only has 1 more year at 4.4.
Do you want to play the Marchand clip here?
Yes.
Talking about the Bennett thing?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful. Let's play that clip there.
I think that it was, he plays hard. You know, he's an extremely physical player, great player for the group. I think he got away with a shot, but, you know, I'm not going to complain. It happens. And, you know, that's part of especially playoff hockey. You know, I've been on the other side of a lot of plays, and you know, I think you get away with one. But I mean, that's part of the game, and definitely part of playoff hockey. You know, it sucks to be on the other side of it, but you know, that stuff happens. You know, so I'm not going to sit here and complain about it. That's part of the game.
I like that. I applaud Marchand for saying the right thing.
Breaks my heart how much I love that clip. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm a dirtbag too. And I do dirty stuff. And the guy got me.
I try to get people.
Try to hurt people.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm applauding him for saying that he tries to get people and he got got. Not necessarily the idea of trying to hurt people. But, I mean, let's not. Are you going to have some high and mighty moment where you say you don't try to?
No, I'm saying that. That's the way it is.
Yes. Okay,
that's
good.
The way it is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, try to hurt people.
Even Jovo, you know, he's saying, right? You hit the guy and you hope he's not hurt. And
that's
like,
hard.
Well, you hope he's not permanently hurt.
Yeah,
you would like him to have a bruise so bad he can't walk for
maybe,
a week.
Maybe a little crack rib.
Yeah, well, just something that limits you for this series.
Yes.
Something where tape's not going to cut it and you can't play, and then doesn't affect the rest of your life. That's what you would like to happen.
It's hard for people that never play to hear that. It is very hard.
I accept that.
Because there's people that say, I don't want to win that badly that I want to hurt someone. And there's others that have played that way and say, no, we're trying to hurt you.
There's others that said they'd fight their mom to win a Stanley Cup.
I really enjoyed hurting people. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I did. When I saw you crawling off the ice, I brought a smile to my face.
Psychopathic thing to say. And I love it. I love you for it.
Hey,
makes me like you more.
Takes some. What can I say? Playing the NHL, it's incredible. What can I say?
Within the rules.
The door to this room doesn't lock, does it?
Hey, all within the rules.
He's pissed off at me about the Montour thing. He wants to hurt me.
I had a split second where I could have jammed my fist down your throat.
I love it.
Just a split second.
I love
though,
it.
Sandy.
That's good. I love
all
it.
All right, plenty more. We promise not to hurt anyone moving forward. Rest of the show, I'm on my best behavior. Okay, when we return, we go national. Rob Brown, Adam Graves, plenty more on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
I'd fight my mom to win another Stanley Cup.